Brilliant. So we're, as Paul said, we're going to look together at the Beatitudes this weekend. It's only actually kind of 8 or 9 or 10 verses. So, you know, we should get through them all right, he says confidently. But I'm really excited about looking at this. Everyone wants to be blessed. Everyone wants to enjoy the blessing of God and enjoy a full and flourishing blessed life. And the Beatitudes speak to us of how we might experience that, how we might taste God's blessing. And well, I think we'll read them in a moment. But before we do that, just to kind of get our expectations right for what is going to happen. The way the Beatitudes work, it's not a kind of like a doctrine download. That it's kind of, here's what you need to understand, kind of download it, and then kind of go away. It doesn't work like that. I don't know if ever any of you have kind of looked around a house that you're going to rent or even buy. And you go into the house and you look around it and you kind of go, oh, wow. Yeah, I can imagine myself living here. Let's put a deposit down. Let's kind of see if we can rent this house. You look around and think, oh, yes, this is a world I'd like to be in. And the Beatitudes are a bit more like that. Less kind of, well, certainly not kind of rules or doctrine just to kind of download. It's more Jesus invites us to enter, to get a picture, a taste of what life is like in his kingdom. So I hope this weekend, in the kind of the four sessions that I've got, but also in our other kind of spare time chatting, we get a chance to do that, get a taste of what life inside Jesus' kingdom is like. Look around, enjoy it. Yes, this is the place that I want to be. This is the place that I want to dwell and enjoy and meet him and know him better. Now, I hope that will kind of set our expectations as well for the kind of the tone and what we want from a weekend. Some of you will have been on many weekends away before. Some of you might be here on your first weekend. What I hope we can get out of this weekend is really a bit of space to reflect and to kind of look around this house, this kingdom that Jesus is building and is offering, and a space to enjoy it, a space to enjoy Jesus, a space to enjoy each other and chat together. I don't think it's going to be kind of, I hope it's not going to be kind of intellectually intense, I don't think. I want it to be just an experience of meeting with Christ, all of us, wherever you are, whatever your day's been, whatever your last year's been, to meet with the Lord Jesus. Some space to enjoy him. And let's talk about that together. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but if you feel like, okay, it's too much, I've had enough now, you know, you don't need to come to the next session, don't come to the next talk, just go for a walk, spend some time with the Lord. I don't know if that's allowed. You know, it's not, you don't have to come to every, just it's for you to encounter Jesus, to meet with him, to spend time with him, and to enjoy him, to enjoy each other as we do that together. So kind of use it as a way that is best for you. You'll see in the notes, I've put a thorough and deep handout with endless sub-points and sub-sub-points. No, 4 blank pages. So fill it in as you go, we'll make way. We should read them out. I haven't asked anyone. Manny, would you be happy to read out the Beatitudes for us? So I give you about, so Matthew chapter 5. Going to say turn in your Bibles, but more probably kind of flick it up on your phone or whatever. And let's read verses 1 to 12. Josh, does that microphone there work for Manny? Great.
Seeing the crowd. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are those poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Sorry, wasn't concentrating. That's brilliant. Okay, imagine a friend of yours meets a new partner, gets engaged to someone. One of the first questions you're going to ask is, what's he like? What's she like? Kids, there's a new kid who joins your class at school. You haven't met her yet. What are you going to ask? What's she like? there's a new player joining the team that you play in, your football team. You want to know, what's he like? There's this speaker coming from the week for our weekend away. He says Paul claims that he's his boss. He's coming from Stockport. What's he like? Anyone know? What's he like? We want to know what people are like. Not kind of he's 5'8", you know, ripped, very strong. No. Character. What's he like? What kind of person is he? Well, how about this? Someone says to you in the workplace, "Oh, I hear you go to St. Clement's Church. You're a follower of Jesus, are you?" "I don't know much about Jesus, sir. What's he like?" Not so much kind of, what does he do or what has he done? We might be able to answer that really well. I could say, I know this. I've got my answers. Jesus is the creator of the world. Jesus died to save the world. He's the redeemer. He's the judge. Not so much that, but what's he like? As a person, what is Jesus like? That's what we're going to be thinking about in this first session this evening. I guess many of us here have been Christians for a long time, many years, many decades, maybe even. But even maybe we find ourselves thinking, I don't quite know how to answer that. What is he like? I guess maybe in a group this size, there'll be some of you, maybe you're not even quite sure where you stand with Jesus. Am I someone who follows Jesus? I'm not sure. Maybe for you, you're thinking this weekend, what is he like? Well, just a brief overview of where we're going this weekend. This first session this evening, we're going to be thinking about that. Jesus, what's he like? Tomorrow morning, first session, we're going to be thinking about, if Jesus is like that, what should I be like? Then after coffee, we'll be thinking like, not what should I be like, but what should we be like as a church together? And then on Sunday morning, we're going to think about what's it like to follow him. Or to put it a bit more simply, which I kind of prefer, session one, him. Session two, therefore, what about me? Session three, what about us? Session four, what then? Him, me, us, what then? There you go. It's a bit of an outline of where we're going this weekend. First, this evening, what's he like? And the way that Jesus answers this question of what's he like, as I said, is not to kind of give us a list of character qualities, but he gives us these kind of statements, this world that he wants us to get to know. Or all of these sentences, you'll see if you've got Matthew 5 open, start with the word blessed. What is Jesus like? He's the kind of God who blesses. He's the kind of God who loves to bless. Now, blessed is a religious word, isn't it? I said goodnight to AJ and Reuben, and instinctively as a vicar, I don't know if Paul does it, I find myself saying, God bless you. You know, oh God, I sound kind of weird and religious. You know, we kind of say it like that. What does it mean to that God is a God who blesses? Well, it's both a fact and an experience. A fact is the one who God blesses is the one he approves of. He kind of accepts, welcomes. But it's not just a fact, it's an experience as well to be blessed by God. A blessing of God is to kind of flourish in the way that we were created to flourish. It's to live an abundant life in communion and fellowship with God, experiencing him and enjoying him, both a fact and an experience. And you'll know that all the way through the Bible, God blesses. He's a God who loves to bless. Think of the creation story, and what did God do to the earth? Well, he blessed it. Think of the promises to Abraham. What was the promises that God was going to bless? The whole earth. Think of Aaron's prayer, the Aaronic blessing, not the ironic blessing. The Aaronic blessing is that God would bless his people and make his face shine upon them. You could go all the way through the Bible, and over we find that God is a God who loves to bless the creation and his people. He's the kind of God who wants us to enjoy his blessing. A happy God who wants a happy people. A flourishing God who wants a flourishing people. An abundant and overflowingly good God who wants his people to experience that abundance and that goodness. What's he like? If you meet Jesus Christ, what's he like? He's a God who loves to bless. And so we find ourselves asking, well, who is it that Jesus blesses? Who is it that he loves to share his blessing with? And that's what we're going to look at all the way through this weekend. There's these eight different sentences, but I just want to look at one this evening. At this time of night, we only need one thing to remember, and I hope that we can remember this. Who is it that enjoys the blessing of God? What's he like? Well, here you go. He's the kind of God who blesses the broken. What's he like? Jesus? I'm not sure I know him. I want to know him better. What's he like? He's the kind of God who blesses the broken. Verse 3, the first beatitude on the mountainside, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, these are the people who he pours his blessing on. These are the people who enjoy the blessing of God, who flourish under his abundance. Jesus says it's those who are poor in spirit. Poor in spirit is not kind of just kind of low self-esteem or self-hatred. It's that those who know before God that we are poor, that we have nothing to offer, that we come to Jesus empty-handed. Often in the first century, when Jesus was writing, that if you lived for Jesus, you would be materially poor as well, be ostracized and left out. You would lose out. In fact, in Luke's version of the Beatitudes, Jesus just says, do you remember this? Jesus just says, blessed are the poor, full stop. And I think that's because living for Jesus, that's often what you were. But here Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. It's the person who comes before Jesus and says, Jesus, I've got nothing. Spiritually, I'm bankrupt. I'm empty before you. I'm broken. It's kind of the experience of coming before God just and in a raw vulnerability, saying, I'm exposed. Spiritually, I'm naked before you. I have nothing to offer you. And Jesus says it's that person who experiences the blessing of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you ever feel that your heart is a bit like a compass in a world of magnets? You know how a compass works? It kind of spins around because, I don't know, the North Star or the North Pole. I don't know how a compass works. But I know that if you put a magnet around it, it spins around. And our hearts are a bit like that as well. We want our hearts to focus on Jesus, but it's like there are magnets everywhere and our hearts just spin round and round, locking onto anything, worshipping any other God, looking for love and security and acceptance in anyone else except for God. And we come to him again on a Friday night, with the stars out on a weekend away with our church family, and we say, Lord, I've got nothing. My heart this week has been like a compass spinning around in a world of magnets. For those of you who know the old prayer book, we find ourselves saying, Lord, I've sinned against you through negligence, through weakness, through my own deliberate fault. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved my neighbor as myself. And the old prayer goes, and there is no health in me. Now it feels awful, doesn't it, to be exposed, naked, vulnerable, poor, empty. It feels wretched to be like that. It feels as far away as possible that that is the blessed life. And yet Jesus says to you this evening, if that's you, you're blessed. The kingdom of heaven is for people like you who come empty-handed, naked, vulnerable. The kingdom of heaven, all the promises of God's kingdom are for people like that, people like you. Now, of course, this is kind of paradoxical. This doesn't work in our world, isn't it? We work in a world where we feel blessed if, dot, dot, dot. I feel blessed if, I don't know, I'm healthy. I feel blessed if I'm doing well at work. I feel blessed if I get a promotion or if I've got money in the bank. I find myself saying this, and it's not wrong. I find myself saying, oh, God's blessed me with lovely family. God's blessed me with money in the bank. And that's all very well, except that Jesus says the opposite. That the blessed person is the person who recognizes they've got nothing. I'm empty, vulnerable. Before you, the living God. Jesus' kingdom is not about performance. It's not about achievement. It's not a hierarchy. We'll think about this tomorrow morning. It's not about class or recognition or what we've got, possessions. Jesus says, have you got nothing before me? Good. You are the person who I pour my blessing upon. You are the person who I died on the cross so that you could come to me empty-handed and I could fill you with abundant blessing and riches. Forgiveness, the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of heaven is yours. I do a bit of work volunteering at the prison in Manchester, HMP Manchester, or Strange Ways, it's still a course. We help run an Alpha course. Some of you might have been in an Alpha course or a Christianity Explored course. And it's an amazing privilege to be in the prison, sharing the good news of Jesus with the men in there. And some of them are pretty tough, hardened criminals. You don't go to Strange Ways for a speeding ticket. There are men who have done some really bad things. But the privilege of sharing Jesus with them is amazing. One of them a few weeks back, as we were talking about this kind of thing, he said, and I quote, "Are you really saying that Jesus came for criminals like me?" He said that. One of the men who's on a long, long sentence, he said, "I've hit rock bottom. Would Jesus really be interested in me?" And to him, to you, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. You don't come to me with full hands. You can offer me nothing. The only posture to come before Jesus Christ this evening, this weekend, is our emptiness, our nothingness. The blessing of the kingdom of heaven belongs to criminals and carjackers and drug dealers and porn addicts and broken families and violent offenders, rebellious kids. No distance is too far. No pit is too deep. No darkness is too thick. No addiction is too enslaving. If you're in any of those categories or many more, Jesus says, I've come for you. And not just reluctantly, I'll keep you at a distance. My abundant and rich blessing is on you." Do you remember one of the worst accusations that people could throw at Jesus? His enemies, the worst accusation, they said, "You know that Jesus? He's a friend of sinners." What an awful thing to be. And so the Jesus, what's he like? He's like this. He's a friend of people who know that they're sinners. If you know that you've got nothing, then in Christ you can enjoy everything. What's he like? What's he like, this Jesus who you worship, who you love, who you know as a church? Well, he's wonderful. He's the kind of God who blesses the broken. In fact, we see all through the Gospels that the one thing that the only people, if you like, that Jesus keeps away are those who try and offer him things. The people who Jesus rejects are the people who come with their own righteousness, with their own kind of fullness. No, what's he like? He's the God who blesses the broken. And I want to say at the beginning of this weekend that that is an amazing, wonderful comfort for us this evening. And so that this isn't just theoretical, we've just about got time. You've got a piece of paper on your chair. I want you to write something down. You might have a pen. If you haven't got a pen, I don't know, scratch it with your nail or something. Rhea might be able to give you a pen. If you're under 25, just do it on your phone. Reverend Paul Jump needs a pen. Even though Rhea's email was really clear, Paul, that you had to bring a pen and a notebook. I read it. Everyone read Rhea's email, didn't we? Yes, you did. Paul, even your children have read Rhea's email. Well done. I didn't until I was about to leave and I realised I didn't bring my bedding. But my children read Rhea's email and so they've shown me up. Okay, here's what you've got to write down. I don't want this to be theory. I want this to kind of be... I want you to write... You're not going to show this to anyone. This is for you. It's between you and the Lord, okay? I want you to write down on your piece of paper all the reasons this evening, not just theoretically in life, but all the reasons this evening that you feel just empty before God. Exposed, broken, poor. Write down what it is that makes you feel... I was just going to repeat myself. I will, for sake of it. What are the reasons that make you feel empty and poor and naked and exposed before God? It might be your circumstances. It might be sin. It might be a specific sin. It might be an addiction or a compulsion, the anger issue that you just can't control. What is it that you think disqualifies you from Jesus? I actually want you to not just think about it, write it down. I'm going to do it as well, because I think it helps if the speaker does it, because anything... Oh, don't tell me I haven't got a pen, Rhea. I have. Paul, don't give me yours. I know you haven't got one either. Okay, let's just have a minute. I've got one. Found one. So I want you to write it down. I'm going to write it down as well. Probably we could keep writing for a long time, couldn't we? I could. So here on this piece of paper, I'm going to fold one up, just in case any of you have got really good eyes. This is just between you and the Lord. You don't have to show anyone this, don't worry. Here on this piece of paper, I think there's stuff that makes me think, Lord, this disqualifies me. There's no way I could come into your presence. I could read this out. I won't. And I guess most of us think that the stuff that you've just written down is a kind of a barrier. Jesus could never love me. At best, he would kind of begrudgingly accept me because of this. If we all, you know, I think I've got enough on my list. There's a lot of things we've written down between us. Surely Jesus wouldn't be interested in a church like St. Clement's when there is so much that we've just written down and we could go on and on. I don't know if you, but I find myself thinking, okay, Jesus, if I can get over this, if I can sort this out, then I'll enjoy your blessing. Just one by one, if I can cross them out, then I'll be able to enjoy a bit more of your blessing. Perhaps then Jesus would be interested in me. But what if it's not like that? What if the very thing that you think disqualifies you from Jesus here, what if that very thing, that very brokenness, is exactly the place for you to experience the blessing of Jesus now, tonight? That you don't have to say, Jesus, if I can get over this, then. No. Now, tonight, we come before the Lord, not with a list of achievements, with a list of failures. We say, Lord, I have nothing. I'm poor in spirit. There's a raw vulnerability to this, of being in the presence of Jesus and being able to admit this. But you know, it's a safe place to be. It's safe to come into Jesus' presence and be honest about this. You don't have to put up the barriers, the defenses, the fig leaves, the excuses. You can just go through your list and say, Jesus, this is who I am. He knows anyway. Jesus, this is who I am. I've got nothing to offer you. And do you know what he says to you this evening? He says, my beloved child, my beloved son, my beloved daughter. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are you as you come with nothing. The kingdom of heaven belongs to you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that freeing and liberating at the start of a weekend? I don't have to prove or perform. I don't have to put on my best face. I can come before Jesus as I am without having to pretend and enjoy his blessing this evening. I want to finish with A little illustration, but it's an illustration I want to tell you a story about. I tried to, at St. Martin's, I tried to give this illustration on Christmas Day last year, and I get a bit emotional from time to time, and I tried, my wife laughs, I tried to give this illustration, and you wouldn't believe it, this is not, I promise this isn't exaggerating, mid-illustration, I cried so much that I had to stop. I handed my talk to this, our assistant minister, and I said, you have to finish it for me. I can't do it, I was so emotional. So then about 2 months ago at St. Martin's, I thought, okay, I'm a stronger man than this now, I'm better. And so I thought, I'm gonna try the same illustration again, which I don't normally do, but for my sake, I felt I needed to. So I said to the church, last time I gave this illustration, I broke down, it was a bit embarrassing, it's not gonna happen again. Started it, what happened? Oh my word, went again. Don't worry, today I am feeling emotionally secure and I feel good. No, I don't. So, Josh, you want to put this picture on? Some of you might have come across Charlie Mackesy, the horse, the boy, the fox, the mole, the donkey, amazing book if you haven't read it. It's a picture book, don't worry, and it is so beautiful. And he's an artist, he was a sculptor, I think, initially. And he sculpted this, it's a bronze sculpture, the bit in the middle, called The Prodigal Son, is what it's called. And what he has done is he's then made it into a poster, and it's The Prodigal Son, and around the side he's put this text. Oh, I'm feeling a bit emotional already. But, you know, I'm securing myself, so I'm not going to, I'm going to be all right. And he wrote this, and this really kind of touches where we've got to this evening. He's put around the side, this is the story of the prodigal son. But it should really be called the running father, who watched every day for his boy to return. The boy who had rejected him so badly. And finally, when he saw him from a long way off, his father ran and hugged him and kissed him. That's actually the second one, so we'll stick with that for the moment. Because then he did a second one, this one. This is called The Prodigal Daughter. And around the edge of the picture, it says this. It says, this is the story of the prodigal daughter. But it should really be called The Running Father, who watched every day for his girl to come home. The daughter who had rejected him so badly. But when he saw her from a long way off, he ran and hugged her and kissed her. And isn't that so beautiful? What's he like? He's the kind of father who runs out to meet his returning child. He's the kind of son who pours his blessing on those who know they have nothing. And so at the beginning of the weekend, I want to make this invitation to you this weekend. Wherever you're at, whatever this week's been, whatever this last year has been, the invitation is to come again to Jesus Christ. Come as you are. Come naked and vulnerable, exposed. Come poor in spirit. Come to Jesus and enjoy his blessing again. The old hymn says, come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love and power. The final verse says, come you weary, heavy laden. Is that you this evening? Come you weary, heavy laden, bruised and ruined by the fall. If you wait until you're better, you will never come at all. Not the righteous, not the righteous. Sinners, Jesus came to call. What's he like? He's the God who blesses the broken. He's the God who gives his kingdom, his whole kingdom, to those who have nothing. I know I've not said anything this evening which is new to you. It's what we know and love and rejoice in. But this weekend, let's just enjoy that together. And I want to invite you this weekend to come again to Christ, to think about what he's like, to dwell in his presence, enjoy again the forgiveness that he brings to us. I'm going to pray in a moment. Paul, are we going into small groups or not? Shall I? There's some questions you can answer if you want. You might want to write these down. I kind of think in a small group, I don't really like answering questions. I just like talking. You know, fine, just talk. How do you respond to that? How do you respond to Jesus? That's the best thing. But if you want some questions to get you going, here are three questions you could chat about. One, how does this first beatitude make you love Jesus more? Again, not very complicated question, is it? How does this make you love Jesus more? Secondly, what barriers and defences do you find yourself putting up to avoid this vulnerability before Jesus? One, how does this make you love Jesus more? Two, what barriers and defences do you put up to avoid this raw vulnerability before Jesus? Three, and we'll talk about this tomorrow, but this might get you thinking, talking. What would a culture at St. Clement's look like where poverty of spirit was valued? We'll think about that more tomorrow. But what would it look like as a culture to value this above all? Paul, shall I pray? Why don't I pray those verses from that Aaron prayed in number 6. Father, we know that if we wait until we're better, we'll never come. And Father, many this evening, maybe all of us in different ways, come weary and heavy laden. Father, we're bruised, ruined by the fall. We don't come this evening pretending to be anything else but naked and vulnerable and empty before you, poor in spirit. And Father, how we worship you this evening. We love you that you don't drive us away. You don't wait until we're better. You don't make demands on us, that you run out and call us home. Thank you that we can be honest and open and vulnerable in your presence. We pray that you'd help us even this weekend to accept that invitation again, to come to Jesus, to put our trust in him. And as we'll see as the weekend goes on, to enjoy the righteousness that he gives, all the blessings of the kingdom of heaven. And so we pray that this weekend you might bless us and keep us, that you might make your face shine upon us and be gracious to us. Turn your face towards us. And Father, we pray that you'd give us your peace. And we pray it for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Amen. Paul, thank you.